If you were to talk about scientific theories that most people have heard of, I think it's safe to say that perhaps Charles Darwin's theory of evolution would be at the very, very top of that list. But you're telling me today that there may be a new way to look at this or a new way to approach evolution that we've never thought of before?
Yeah, I think that's right. And in fact, actually, Darwin had a little bit of it in his theory, but it's sort of changed since then. And we think now about evolution as survival of the fittest. And that it's a theory about genes and genetics, right? That simply, you know, simply put, you know, adaptive traits, genetic sort of information and traits that are adaptive in the world, people like those reproduce more and survive, and those traits develop, and folks who are weaker, animals or organisms that don't have adaptive traits, die out. Real simple. And, you know, this is sort of the basic idea of competition, right? That, you know, these genes are in competition with each other. The winners are the strong ones. The losers die out. End of story. And that may not be the whole story, actually, because, you know, one of the things that we think about then is, why do we cooperate with each other in groups? You know, that's a question that evolutionary biologists and other evolutionists have really had to contend with. Because if we think about, you know, the way sort of traditional evolutionary theory is thought of is very, you know, individualistic, right? You know, you want strong traits, strong organisms survive, weak ones fall out. And we simply, you know, we want the strong to survive. But it turns out that may not always apply. So, biologist William Muir did a study not too long ago looking at this in chickens. So you go to a hen house, you know, chickens really, they have one job, right? If you're in a hen house, the job is to, well, lay eggs,
yeah,
right? And so decided to do an experiment looking at sort of evolutionary processes in action. So this isn't a theory, this isn't, you know, thinking about it. They actually did a study. And what they did is they decided to create two different types of groups of hens. Right. So one group, they wanted to base it on survival of the fittest. So they went around and looked at all the different cages and hen houses and picked the top egg producers. Right. So, you know, in a hen house, you can have a couple different, you know, a small little community. Right. So you take the best egg producer, you pluck them out, put them in with the others, and you just have communities or hen houses stocked with the best egg layers of all time. Right. And you breed those out over generations and you go. And the assumption is, well, you're going to get the absolute best egg layers you got. Right. The other way, the other sort of group, instead of looking at individuals, they just looked at hen houses, individual communities that had the best egg production, and they put all of those members and bred them together and built it out. Right. So on one hand, it's based on individual production, right? The strongest individual hen, that's the one you want, survival of the fittest. The other way of selecting was just based on the group. Pick the groups, the communities that were doing best, select them moving forward. All right, so who do you think wins?
The community?
Well, yeah, you knew it, right? But you would think, you know, the strongest individuals, because, you know, in those hen houses with the communities, you had hens that really weren't doing much. The production was really low, right? So the assumption is if you wanted to maximize, you would want only the best individuals. Put them on a team, they're going to be best. What happened, though, is quite interesting, is they actually bred out in a super aggressive line of chickens, right? And in fact, in the final studies where you might have six, seven sort of hens in a house, some of them only had two or three because they plucked the others to death. Right?
Goodness.
Not the best community. Whereas when you picked at the level of the group, if you picked the groups that were the most productive and working together, you ended up with about 160% increase in production just with six generations spread out. So, I mean, we're talking about chickens, we're talking about eggs. What does this have to do with us? You know, this really is the foundation of a new theory of evolution called multi-level selection. And so this is the work of David Sloan Wilson and others. And it's the idea of instead of just selecting the individual, survival of the fittest in the individual, we can look at selection at the group level as well. That evolution operates on groups the same way it might operate on an individual. And in this view of evolution, cooperation is an incredibly adaptive trait. Right? It's something that that can lead to success over time, even when weaker individuals are part of those groups. Because those weak individuals, even though they may not be laying eggs as much, they might be doing other features that aren't seen that are building and leading to that increased, you know, output and that increased survival fitness.
So even if they're not strong egg layers, they are doing something valuable in that community that benefits that community's ability to produce eggs.
Exactly.
Does anybody have any idea how this happens?
Well, I mean, I think it makes sense when you think about all the different roles that happen in a group. It's easy to focus on the one output, right? The one thing that is, you know, if groups are forming to form eggs, sure, that's pretty easy. But think about other sort of workplace organizations. Same principles apply here. If you put your top producing individuals together, that may not actually lead to the best output because there could be, you know, kind of behind the scenes work going on. Things that maybe they're not flashy, they're not showy, they're not the things that kind of show up as the yes, this person's our most productive, but they might be doing things that are essential to the business, essential to the organization, right? So if we're looking, and one of those features itself is simply cooperation, right? If you put all the top achieving sort of alphas together, you get groups that fight each other. And literally, in the case of chickens, unpeck each other to death, right? So skills like being able to promote harmony, compromise, consensus building, and sort of build a community are really important evolutionarily, even if we haven't really thought of them that way before.
I'm going to ask what may be a stupid question, which is when that group of hens dies, they lose all of that collaborative experience, right? It's not like that passes on to the next generation of those chickens, right?
Well, that's a really great question, and that's an exciting new area as well that's looking at something called cultural evolution. We used to think of evolution just as genes and just as genetic information, but it turns out cultural transmission, things that we can transfer between generations that are not purely in genetics, also does play a role. And this is especially the case in humans because we have verbal language and knowledge systems, and we're able to produce so much of culture around us that this really is an area we have to look at. So, you know, this isn't your grade school evolution. This is really looking at change processes at the level of a culture. And the reason I think this is so valuable is because it teaches us and it brings our attention back to the role of collaboration. How can we build communities that work together to accomplish their aims? Not, you know, building individual superstars or the idea of the, you know, the one sort of leader, but instead, how do we foster communities that collaborate together to accomplish things that are important to them? And there's a new branch of evolution, applied evolution, looking at just that. How can we use basic science and evolutionary principles to help communities build collaboration, work together, and work to be those hens that are, you know, cooperating in the community and not the ones that are pecking at each other?